Thank you for joining us for episode 39 of Bite-Sized Blessings. This episode is by turns powerful, devastating, and joyful. I'm so very grateful to my guest, Maggie Hanley, for being so vulnerable and for sharing herself with me today. There are some trigger warnings with this episode, however. The discussion of suicide and the discussion of child abuse do occur. If you yourself or someone you know is threatened with thoughts of suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. And if you suspect someone of abusing a child, please call the Child Help National Child Abuse Hotline at 1-800-422-4453. And now, episode 39 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
I called the suicide hotline. It wasn't like I wanted to die. It was more like I didn't want to live. Destroyed, pretty much destroyed. I called the suicide hotline and I met a woman named Sarah Gilman, who I'm forever grateful for because she saved my life, literally saved my life. And she figured out what the hell was going on. I was misdiagnosed. I was actually bipolar, but because I was on SSRIs, and you can do a little research on this, bipolar people on SSRIs almost always kill themselves, almost always. I am many things. This question was fascinating to me because it sounds so simple and yet it's incredibly complicated. Where I started was I'm a multifaceted light and energy field. It's what we all are. But, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you're an artist. And I say, no, that is not a self-determined title. It's an earned title. And I feel that that should be a title that is you are distinguished with by a greater judge than yourself. So I've never referred to myself as an artist until I did my website this year, because, you know, you've got to know what it is. But I always called myself a painter. So that was my easy answer. And then I went on to think about it more deeply. So artists are always tasked with writing artist statements, and you have to write it about yourself, but you have to sound like somebody else is talking about you. And so I look to other people in terms of, you know, who am I? What am I? Often I look at their reflection of who they think I am. And so in the middle of thinking about your questions, I found something. I'm still kind of unpacking and sorting. And I found this amazing little gift tag that a former boss had given to me. I thought, I'm going to tell you about that. I helped she and her husband start a winery, and they had me do all the bottle designs, all the labels. And now here, nearly 17 years later, it's still their label. They stuck with the brand, and I'm just so flattered. And I just had a love affair with both of these people. Funny story about that. He was, you know, he has a very thick accent, and we were discussing names, and he said, well, I want to call it Forking Paths. And I went, oh, no. You get your first Australian intern in there and you're going to be the laughing stock. I mean, you can see how Forking Paths could go south. You can see that. So anyway, they wrote me, I think it was a birthday, and she wrote, Maggie is unique. A lover of wine, natural beauty, cheerful smile, devotion, stylish, marketing savvy, chutzpah, poetic, considerate, great taste, little mean streak, persuasive, gentle, lover of life, lover of people, lover of beauty and justice. And I thought, wow, that's nothing I could have written myself. I went into a deep depression because I had changed my whole life, given up a career to go back, not to be very appreciated, raising these two children and the husband. I fell into a really deep clinical depression, and I had a girlfriend all worried about me, and she goes, ooh, I'm taking you to the doctor. And I was like, whatever. I was diagnosed with clinical depression and was put on a course of SSRIs. antidepressants, the very specific antidepressant. And I was on them for 11 years. And I took a year and a half sabbatical to not work at any job and just to paint. And I went off that medication. I titrated off it, you know, the proper way. And my brain exploded. It was like an electrical fire in my brain neurons. It was the most, I can't even describe it. That's as close as I get. And I had a full on psychic breach, mental breakdown. And I called the suicide hotline. It wasn't like I wanted to die. It was more like I didn't want to live. It was too much pain. It was just too much, too much, too much. This was, you know, after the divorce. It was after my mother's passing. I was just destroyed, pretty much destroyed. I called the suicide hotline and I got express lined into help right away. And I met a woman named Sari Gilman, who I'm forever grateful for because she saved my life, literally saved my life. And she figured out what the hell was going on. I was misdiagnosed. I was actually bipolar, but because I was on SSRIs, and you can do a little research on this, bipolar people on SSRIs almost always kill themselves, almost always. It's the absolute wrong drug for a bipolar person. But because I was on them for 11 years, what it did was it flipped me into this very specific type of bipolar that's called rapid cycling bipolar. It's hell on earth. Or it was. It was. So when that started out, to get me out of crisis and to stabilize me, I was on 5 different drugs. And I really didn't want to live then. So we made some adjustments. And now I'm on 1 low-dose drug that, you know, a proper drug. It's actually was designed for people with epilepsy and has to do with seizures. They discovered that it maintains your balance in bipolar people, some bipolar people. And I'm one of the lucky ones. And that to me is a miracle. She saved my life. I was so close to death. You know, it was kind of one of those things where you might walk out in front of a bus by mistake. You know, that's how bad I didn't want to be here anymore. Anybody who's known me for 30 or 40 years would notice a remarkable change in me. The change is on the inside, and it's in my head, and it's in my words that I say to myself. It's in the feelings that I have about myself and with myself. You were talking about miracles and magic, and I guess I came to the place where I thought love is a miracle and self-love is magical. That's where the magic comes in my experience. And it has made me more magical, the love has. And the more I notice, I notice a lot more coincidences and there's more wonderment. And I experience observing these fragile filaments of phenomena woven in a life that is, it's kind of self-perpetuating. The magic becomes self-perpetuating. And the key is self-love. I swear they should teach it in kindergarten.
Thanks for listening to episode 39 of Bite-Sized Blessings, the podcast all about the magic and spirit that surrounds us, if only we open our eyes to it. I need to thank my guest today, Maggie Hanley, for sharing her story, as well as the many musical creators of all the groovy music used in this episode. Music L Files, Chilled Music, Raphael Crux, Brian Holtz, Kevin McLeod, Agnes Famagia, Music Hauled, Dream Heaven, and Frank Schroeder. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to books, art, music, and changemakers I think will lighten and brighten your day. It's hard to pick just one miracle in this episode with which you can go out and emulate Maggie and change the world. I'd say forgiveness is a pretty big one. It's hard, and many of us absolutely find it so difficult to achieve. But I'd have to say, after careful reflection, that self-love is the most powerful and beautiful miracle in this episode. I imagine that if in kindergarten, we were all taught to love ourselves, to love our neighbors, and then take that beautiful and powerful energy out into the world as we are growing up. So I'm going to go with self-love. I think that's the most powerful miracle here. So thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Maggie. Learn to love yourself and then go out and change the world.